NATCA's public outburst gets it kicked off the Hudson Midair investigation. The airlines release their forecast for Labor Day weekend. And an inventor dies on his creation's first flight. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, August 19th, 2009. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association, the union representing controllers, held a press conference Monday to defend one of its members working in Teterboro, New Jersey, from an apparent implication by the NTSB of fault in the August 8th midair collision of a Piper Saratoga and a helicopter over the Hudson River in New York. At issue are four words that infer that the Teterboro controller could have warned the airplane pilot about the helicopter before handing him off to Newark. The NTSB's own timeline indicates the helicopter was not yet on that controller's screen at the time of the handoff. NATCA President Patrick Forey commented, quote, "We respect the NTSB and we value our participation in NTSB investigations. But in this case, the NTSB has completely ignored our input, painted an unrealistic view of the job description of a Teterboro controller, and fueled a public feeding frenzy that unfairly blames this particular Teterboro controller for not acting to stop the sequence of events that led to the crash," unquote. For their trouble, Forey and his colleagues have gotten NATCA kicked off that investigation team. The National Transportation Safety Board reminded NATCA that among the rules in the document it signed to be included was an agreement not to reveal investigative information, nor publicly comment on it. Parties agree that only the NTSB will release factual information on the progress of the investigation and discuss that progress with the public, including the news media. NTSB Chairman Deborah Herzman commented, quote, "Our rules are set up precisely to avoid the prospect of each party offering their slant on the information. I regret that we have had to remove NATCA from the investigation," unquote. The Air Transport Association of America predicts that 16 million passengers will travel globally on U.S. airlines during the 8-day Labor Day holiday period, spanning Wednesday, September 2nd through Wednesday, September 9th. That's down about 3.5% from last year. ATA blames a deep global recession and unnaturally high and volatile energy prices for the decline in volume. ATA President James May notes, quote, "Economic uncertainty and persistently high energy prices for consumers and businesses continue to impact demand for air travel. Now is a great time to fly. Low fares are making travel to all corners of the world very affordable," unquote. The airlines have scrambled to match declining demand with capacity cuts. Compared to the year 2000, this year's third quarter will see 6,600 fewer domestic flights per day, or a loss of about 22%. ATA reminds anyone who is flying this Labor Day holiday that the TSA's new Secure Flight Phase 2 will require providing a date of birth and sex when booking a flight, and an exact match between the name on your government-provided picture ID and the name used at the time you made the reservation. Michael Dacher's dream of offering travelers short intercity trips in his jet pods may have ended Sunday, when the inventor was killed in testing one of the craft. Witnesses say he took off from an airport in Taiping, Malaysia, reached an altitude of about 600 feet, then entered a vertical climb before spinning to the ground. The 53-year-old envisioned the jet pod as an aerial taxi needing only 400 feet for takeoff and offering a 300-knot cruise. He had hoped to have it in commercial production by next year. Up next on ANN, NTSB wants revised checklists for some Boeing airliners. NASA says its inflatable heat shield works. And one of life's chemical building blocks has been found in the tail of a comet. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 19th. I'm Paul Plack. The crash last year of a Spanair MD-82 on takeoff from Madrid Barajas International Airport has led the NTSB to recommend the FAA require changes to the plane and the procedures and training provided crews who fly it. Specifically, the board says the plane crashed off the end of the runway, killing 154 people, because the crew did not follow the appropriate checklist, the plane's takeoff warning system was inoperative due to an electrical problem, and all this allowed advancing the throttles without remembering to have the flaps and slats extended for takeoff. The cockpit voice recorder revealed there were no warnings to the crew of that error. Among the board's recommendations are modifying certification standards to require the takeoff warning systems on DC-9s, MD-80s, and 90s, and the 717 to function through a single failure, and that if the warning system is inoperative during takeoff, another layer of warning must warn the crew of the loss of the first warning. The board also wants industry, research, and government authorities to convene a meeting on best practices, which will then be used to modify crew checklists. NASA says it has successfully tested an inflatable, mushroom-shaped re-entry heat shield made of several layers of silicone-coated industrial fabric, inflated with nitrogen from what NASA calls a glorified scuba tank. The test came Monday morning. A small sounding rocket was launched from NASA's Wallops Island facility and carried the shield to an altitude of 131 miles. As its fall back to Earth began, the 15-inch packed shield inflated to 10 feet in diameter over 90 seconds. At 50 miles up, maximum re-entry temperatures were reached, and telemetry revealed the shield held. The test unit now lies at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, but NASA is thrilled. Neil Cheatwood, principal investigator for the project at Langley, observed, quote, "Our inflation system worked flawlessly, and so did the flexible aeroshell. We're really excited today because this is the first time anyone has successfully flown an inflatable re-entry vehicle," unquote. The technology is expected to play a role in manned missions to Mars, where packing space and weight will be at an unprecedented premium. NASA scientists are excited to have discovered glycine, which they call a fundamental building block of life, in samples of the comet Vilt 2 returned by the Stardust spacecraft. Jamie Elsula of the Goddard Space Flight Center commented, quote, "Glycine is an amino acid used by living organisms to make proteins, and this is the first time an amino acid has been found in a comet. Our discovery supports the theory that some of life's ingredients formed in space and were delivered to Earth long ago by meteorite and comet impacts," unquote. Stardust passed through dense gas and dust surrounding the icy nucleus of Vilt 2 on January 2nd of 2004. A special gel-filled collection grid captured samples in a capsule that was then jettisoned and parachuted to Earth 2 years later. Scientists around the world have been studying the samples ever since. Still ahead, setting waypoints using voice recognition. A 30-year Rockwell Collins vet lands at Avidyne. And world peace through aircraft ownership. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, August 19th. I'm Paul Platt. If you've decided there's just no easy, fast way to enter a waypoint into your Garmin 430 or 530, hold on. VoiceFlight says its new VFS 101 allows entering waypoints using voice recognition software. You activate a switch on the yoke and spell out the acronyms for waypoints, intersection, and Victor Airways using the phonetic alphabet. Speech recognition technology interprets the acronym and enters it into the navigation unit. Once you're done, voila, the new flight plan is displayed on the navigation screen. VoiceFlight says the system allows pilots to continue to scan other instruments and traffic while activating a new flight plan, reducing cockpit workload and increasing safety. MSRP is about $3,000 U.S. Avidyne has appointed Michael Oppheim, sales manager for the Eastern Region of North America, responsible for all aftermarket sales of Avidyne's displays, safety sensors, and retrofit flight deck systems, and the management of relationships with Avidyne authorized distributors in the Eastern U.S. and Canada. Oppheim spent 30 years with Rockwell Collins, where he most recently served as director of sales for the Eastern U.S. and Latin America. He holds BAs in Business Administration and Aviation Management and is a licensed private pilot. We wish him all the best in his new challenge. And finally, just how big an accomplishment is it for 40,000-plus AirVenture campers to live in peace and harmony for a week? Well, the Winnebago County Sheriff's Office says two men got into a fight Saturday night at the camp, which is adjacent to the airport and hosts other activities when AirVenture's not going on. Officials say the two got into an argument, one pulled out a knife, and the other was cut on his neck and hand. The 36-year-old suspect was scheduled for arraignment this week. So, what group was camping there? 35,000 members of the Pathfinders, a non-denominational group sponsored by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The two guys involved in the scuffle were from the New York chapter, which is being given discretion on whether they're kicked out of the organization. See, and all this time, we're going about world peace the wrong way. We just need to get everybody to fly airplanes. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Cirrus pilots tell us how the recession is affecting them and what they're doing to survive it. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.